to the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is that man whose life is like a hurricane, Kyle Krause.
Woo!
How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. How you doing, Ian?
I am doing all right. My hands hurt a little bit. Because Metroid, Return of Samus, came out on the 3DS.
Aha! Uh-huh.
And I haven't put it down for very long.
Uh-oh. It's,
usually my hands are wrapped around that 3DS and I'm committing all sorts of genocide across planet SR388. So, yeah, I've been having fun. But nice. My knuckles sound like popcorn.
How's it compared to the original?
I never played the original, just saw a Let's Play of it. Graphically, it's a little more robust.
I would assume so.
I think it looks gorgeous. Samus plays silky smooth. The free aim option that they give you is just delightful. The new additional powers, I think, are kind of neat. Situational, but then at the same time, if you don't want to use them as a crutch, then you don't really have to.
Mm-hmm.
And like any good Metroid game, you go from panicking to, haha, everything can be destroyed, to panicking again.
Yeah, that's Metroid.
And it, I'm sure those who are veterans of the series, who have played the Metroid series inside and out, would be having a much easier time with it. I am getting mauled by these Metroids. Like the first one I came across, it's like, bang, bang, dead. Oh, crap, these things are strong. And about the 10th time, it's like, all right, maybe I should go explore a little, find an E-tank or something.
I've played both the original, not completely all the way through, I've played only a little bit of it, and the fan remake, AM2R. And yeah, it's brutal. It's I can see where you're coming from. Those Metroids are tough, and they take a beating. Samus does not, for some reason. It takes a little while. It takes a little while to get her powered up. But
I mean, if you consider within the lore of the world, you know, she's got a cannon that fires a high-powered energy beam.
Yeah,
that can rip through armor. And can destroy robots.
Mm-hmm.
And the animals that she's shooting withstand not only more than one shot, but can actually shrug it off here and there.
Sure.
What were the Chozo feeding these things, man? They're just...
the Chozo kind of, well, apparently were the bringers of their own demise or something.
Well, yeah, there's that too, but...
Yeah, if they like, fed Metroids to make them practically invincible, then yeah. Oh, man. Well, I had some news come across my desk this week, Ian, that I think
In the Bumblecast newscast.
Yes, but I think it's not really news. Did you know Mario is no longer a plumber?
I heard the gnashing of teeth and the pulling of hair and the crying of people in the streets.
He hasn't been a plumber in, like, over 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at all the various costumes he has in Odyssey, and he has been those occupations at some point. I mean, it's not like he's Sonic the Hedgehog. Sonic will always be a hedgehog. Mario the plumber is not really hard and fast.
Exactly. He started as a carpenter. In the original Donkey Kong, the carpenter jump man. And then he became a plumber for the original Mario Brothers, and I think they kind of kept that lore around a little bit for Super Mario Brothers, and then after that, he's just like, all right, he's just the working class guy in overalls who is apparently now the hero of the Mushroom Kingdom. And that's the role he's been in since 1988.
Right, unless... Plumber is like some ancient toadstool word for dragon slayer, but
and it doesn't mean he can't do plumbing work because we saw him repair him and Luigi both repair a pipe at the beginning of Mario 3D World.
Exactly.
So he can still do plumbing.
He's a handyman.
Right. He can still do work like that, but he is at this point, he is just the hero of the Mushroom Kingdom. He's sitting pretty as the guy who saves the world. At the end of the day, that's all he does. That's all he really does. So I'm perfectly fine with that.
Now that I put forward this idea that the Toadstool language is different from English. I'm just thinking of Skyrim, Mario Kingdom style. Hey, Bowser! Fusora! Ha ha!
I'm pretty sure there's probably a mod for that to change the voice of the voice of those two Mario, probably.
Probably. The only mod that I've seen that if I were playing Skyrim, I would have to implement because it's both fantastic and terrifying.
I think I know which one you're going to say. Go for
it. All the dragons are replaced with Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, okay. That's a good one, too. I thought you were going to do all the ones with all the dragons replaced with Macho Man Randy Savage.
I've not seen that one.
Oh, man. That one is hilarious. It's absolutely hysterical. But
I must find this.
The Thomas the Tank Engine one is really good, too. Oh, man. Yeah, the Macho Man Randy Savage mod for dragons in Skyrim is amazing.
Wow.
Well, all the voice clips replaced with Macho Man cutting a promo. It's awesome.
Well, we've got a special guest and a special topic today, but before we do that, we're going to get to a special contest. We're not doing the normal Bumble Raffle draw today. Today we are announcing the PS4 Sonic Mania download code trivia contest. Or just Bumblecast trivia contest, if that's a little shorter.
Yes.
Now, the prize for this, I must stress, is for the PS4 version of Sonic Mania. If you have an Xbone or a Switch or the PC, this code will not work for you. If you have those consoles and you want this code as a gift for someone else, that's cool too. But just so you know, before you even think about entering, this is for the PS4.
Indeed.
Now, what do you do to win? Number one, you have to email us by September 29th to bumblecast@yahoo.com with the subject line Sonic Mania Contest. All right? We're not going to be digging through our email looking for any number of things. It has to say Sonic Mania Contest. Can't be to my email. Can't be to Kyle's email. Not even on the Patreon site. No. bumblecast@yahoo.com. And you have to answer these five questions correctly. Are you ready? Here we go.
These questions five.
Should I do this in Tim's voice?
No, it's okay. Fine.
Number one, what was the air date of the very first episode of the Bumblecast?
I don't even know that one.
Well, then it's a good thing you're not entering.
Exactly.
Number two, Bumblecast and Sonic Mania share a composer to a degree. What is that composer's name? Number three, Kyle's been hosting his own show for years now. What is it called and where can you find it?
I don't know this one either.
That's a problem.
It'll be nice to actually know.
Number four, what two sites can you find Bumblecast Gaming on? And number five, what is your favorite Bumblecast moment?
There is a correct answer to that one. And that answer is any.
All right, so we're going to move on to the main topic of the show, which is all about DuckTales, woohoo, which is getting a fantastic reboot through Disney Animation. And for this segment, I have brought in the best mind about duckery out there. You know him, you love him. He's the Louie to our Huey and Dewey, John Gray.
Hi, everybody!
How are you doing, sir?
I am doing well. How are you doing, friend?
I'm doing just fine and dandy. So, you are kind of like a walking, talking encyclopedia of animation in general. It's actually staggering, you know, just sitting you down and saying, John, tell me about cartoons, and you don't stop for like an hour.
Yeah, most people have to get me to stop. It's a thing with my brother. Usually he just smacks me on the head, and that's the best way to get me to shut up.
Right, but if I did that, that would be assault, so we usually just kind of run with it. And truly, and honestly, it's fascinating. But we're going to try, and that's probably why you are an actual literal professor of the subject.
Yes, I teach principles of cartooning, primarily comic books and whatnot, at the School of Visual Arts in Manhattan. I teach it every Wednesday from 3:20 to 6:10.
That's a very weird block.
Well, they have it set in studio. It's basically a studio class. So it's part lecture, part critique, part studio in the cartooning and illustration department. they have it set in 3-hour blocks like that because SVA's campus is spread out through the mid-Manhattan area. So they have to give students time to walk to and fro between classes and buildings and whatnot, trains, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. But we're going to focus, because if we got on the topic of animation in general, we could probably do like a year's worth of episodes in one go. So we're going to be talking about DuckTales.
DuckTales.
The original cartoon incarnation, the one that it's going with now, and the absolute incredible library of books that the new cartoon seems to be following. So I guess let's start with, what do you remember of the original cartoon, both good and bad?
The original cartoon began, I remember watching it when it was an hour long. Well, actually not an hour long. It was probably about 2 hours, 2 hours, 30 minute long pilot movie on the Wonderful World of Disney. This was around the time that the Disney Afternoon was just forming. Gummy Bears was already on Saturday mornings. It had been established. And I think Winnie the Pooh had been established also. Little known thing, Scrooge had become extremely popular through Mickey's Christmas Carol. But there were actually two other Scrooge McDuck, the lead character of DuckTales. He'd actually appeared in two other animated venues prior to DuckTales, which was 1967's Uncle Scrooge and Money, which was their attempt to do a Ludwig von Drake-ish short that sort of like a featurette that was an educational feature on money, capitalism, and all that kind of stuff. And then there was also Soccer Mania, which was a sports goofy kind of thing that I forget the year it was. I want to say it was 84, 85, but that was actually the first appearance of the Beagle Boys in animation. Scrooge wound up just becoming so popular from that, that they really wanted a venue to focus on that character for the Disney Afternoon. The Carl Barks Uncle Scrooge comics were a gold mine of stories that they could use. So they decided to focus on that as a basis, along with telling new original stories. And it went on from there.
How many seasons did it go? Because I know it went for a long time.
It had, I believe, a total of 101 episodes plus a movie. And the seasonal runs back then, because it was syndicated, was really weird. So it had the standard 65-episode syndicated run. And then I think it had two other seasons after that, which was, I think it finally concluded in either 1991 or 1992. And there was actually even a small hiatus in between that, when several other Disney Afternoon shows had premiered by that time. But there were like 9 episodes that were left that had just never aired. And they were the final season. So, yeah, it went on for quite, pretty much throughout the tail end of the 80s up to the start of the 90s.
Now, I know some purists for the Duck comics, which are huge in Europe, and are they really more Western world, like Russia, Australia, the Asian Taiwan, that kind of area, or are they mostly like big in Europe and South America?
They're huge in Europe, specifically Holland. Well, I always confuse whether Holland or the Netherlands are the same thing, so I'm gonna show my ignorance and say both. Finland, Denmark, Italy, especially. Little note, in the comics, Scrooge's color scheme had always been red and black. He had a red jacket with black trim. In Italy, however, he'd always had a blue jacket with red trim. By the time the DuckTales show was in production, the American comics had really only just gotten started again. So people were not used to the standard color scheme that had persisted with him for decades. They decided to mine from the Italian aspect. And that's where Scrooge got the blue jacket with the red trim from. And why they've emphasized with the new reboot version going back to the classic standard red and black that everybody knows him with. In addition to having Donald Duck in it as a main character, where he wasn't in the first version, they also even go as far as to use the black sailor suit.
Which I really did like
why
that.
Why not?
I really like that in the pilot for the new show where he starts off in the blue uniform and they swap it out as the, you know, two episodes go on. I thought that was a wonderful way to not acknowledge Donald's most common look, at least here on this side of the pond, and transition it into the more European Barksian version.
When we're talking about purists and all that kind of stuff with DuckTales, one of the major complaints about DuckTales, when it was originally created in the 80s, it was specifically a vehicle for Scrooge. And Disney TV Animation was afraid that Donald would eclipse Scrooge as a character. But one of the things...
Because he does that in everything else that he does, really.
He really does.
Because he is the best.
One of the things is that I don't think that they had enough confidence in Scrooge as a character being as strong and as popular as he was in comics, because one of the key things that makes those old Carl Barks comics work is Scrooge's banter with Donald and how Scrooge basically one-ups Donald at every turn whenever Donald tries to get one over on him. At the same time, because Donald is as cantankerous as he is, Scrooge is also just as cantankerous, except he's an old Scottish man with lots of money. So it's rare that Donald gets one over on him. And that banter back and forth is what was missing with DuckTales. Instead, they try to portray Scrooge as, you know, he still had the same qualities that he had as a comic, but they try to, I don't want to say water him down, but I guess that's the best way to do it, by counteracting that cantankerousness with Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and especially Webby, who was just kind of like, was never in the comics, but was a doting little pink-bowed girl. So it's very strange seeing the comics, seeing what was done in the pilot for the reboot, and then knowing the old show in particular, because the new pilot version basically fixed all of the faults that many people had with the original version. There's still some things that I'm iffy on, but I'm waiting to see what they'll do with them.
But we'll get into that in a moment. One of the things that occurred to me was, I can't remember the butler's name in the original cartoon.
Duckworth.
Thank you. There is some concept art floating around Tumblr that shows early passes at the reboot, and Duckworth is among them.
Is supposed to appear in the show at some point.
Oh, he is supposed to come back?
Yes.
I thought he was being replaced by, Webby's aunt.
Okay, here's the thing. Miss Beakley was a butler. Miss Beakley was originally sort of a governess. She was supposed to be in charge of watching Huey, Dewey, and Louie. So she wasn't a butler or a maid or anything like that, but she sort of doubled as one, as a de facto one in the series. Now, Scrooge, under Carl Barks, never had a butler. Duckworth was created specifically for the show. However, in Italy, Scrooge always had a butler. His Italian name was Batista, and his English name, when we brought him over for the Disney comics, I work on Disney comics, and one of the things we decided on when we wanted to give him an American name was Quackmore. This was before Don Rosa had established the family tree, naming Quackmore as Donald Duck's father, but we're getting into a whole lot of lore anyway. But Quackmore is basically Scrooge's snarky butler. Albert Quackmore is his name entirely, but basically that he was the rough template for Duckworth. Now, what they'll do with Duckworth in the new series, I have no idea. I just know that he's supposed to appear at some point.
Okay. And there was a bit of a feather ruffle, if you will, earlier this year, where I forget who it was who was involved in the Duck comics, but confirmed that DuckTales and Darkwing Duck were in two separate universes. But we know that Darkwing is showing up in the rebooted cartoon, so should we assume that St. Canard and Duckburg are now all one big happy family? Are they consolidating all the Duck?
Okay. Let me break that down for you.
Have a seat, kids. Grab some cocoa.
This is weird. In the comics, it was... Okay. You have to look at it in the concept of comics in different universes and whatnot. So let's consider the comics their own universe. let's consider DuckTales its own universe. There's actually a story where Scrooge meets the DuckTales version of Scrooge. Scrooge in the red coat meets Scrooge in the blue coat, and they have an adventure together. And then let's say Darkwing Duck comes along. Now, the way that it was always treated in the comics was that Darkwing Duck and DuckTales existed in the same universe, just in different cities. I forget who said that they existed in different universes. It may have actually been Tad Stones, who was the creator of Darkwing Duck. I don't know. That kind of caught everybody out of left field. So for the purposes of the comics, where Darkwing Duck really doesn't appear regularly, he was created for TV as a spinoff of DuckTales, which was a vehicle for Launchpad originally. Launchpad actually had two spinoffs, but I'm getting off topic. I just ignore it. It makes things too complicated. Now,
I like the simple solution.
For the reboot, as far as I know, Darkwing Duck, I don't know what the deal is for that. I do, but I don't know if I should say anything because I don't know if it's public knowledge yet.
Right, because you do have a little bit of an inside track with your work on the, is it Boom doing Disney?
No, IDW.
I should have known that. Never mind.
So I don't know if I should say anything with that. Darkwing Duck will appear, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. That's probably the safest course of action.
Yeah.
Because
everybody does know that Darkwing Duck. Now, I want to touch on one quick thing. I know we've barely gotten into the old show, but the reason that Darkwing Duck was even a thing is a little bit twofold. Originally, they were going to do a spinoff featuring Launchpad. It was based off of an episode of the show called 00 Duck, where Launchpad was going to be a spy. He was going to be a spy against an organization called Shush, which we all know was the same organization in, was it Shush or was it Foul? No, it was Foul. It was Foul. Sorry.
Right.
Fiendish Organization for World Larceny. So that wound up changing. And then they decided to go with a James Bondish type character. That James Bondish type character was then thrown out for a superhero, but they kept a lot of the spy elements, which is why Darkwing worked for Shush, and he was against Foul. That's what it was. I'm trying to remember all the details now. And that's why that element was kept into the show. That's why some Darkwing episodes were spy episodes. Some Darkwing episodes were superhero episodes. And additionally, there was also the concept of the Duck Avenger, which had been going on in Italy, which was Donald Duck as a costume superhero since the 1970s, which was in continuity with all the regular comics that they did. So they kind of used that as an inspiration. It was a combination of several different things, and then Darkwing Duck was born. Launchpad was eventually kept as Darkwing's sidekick, and that's the story of that. Back to DuckTales.
And I love the fact that Launchpad has endured because he's just such a lovable dope.
Launchpad is, I would argue that out of all of the new characters that 87 DuckTales did, Launchpad, maybe Gizmo Duck was arguably the best. And the reason for that is that Launchpad, when they tried to shoe in Launchpad as a substitute for Donald, it didn't work. When they made Launchpad his own character, the lovable dope that everybody loves, that's when it worked, and they perfected it in Darkwing. The version of Launchpad that is currently used in DuckTales concurrent with Donald is perfect. There's only a handful of stories where Launchpad and Donald interact, but those they're European produced by Egmont, actually, who's the publisher over in, I'm going to mess this up again, Denmark, I believe. But there's only a few, but the ones that I've read personally, I think are excellent. So I really can't wait to see how they handle any Launchpad-Donald interaction in the comics themselves.
So to be clear, Launchpad was a cartoon original that got transplanted
Launchpad
into the comics?
Never created for the comics. He was originally created for the cartoon, and I believe the plan was to gradually integrate some DuckTales characters into the comics, the 90s Disney comics that were being produced at that time. That never really happened. The only character after DuckTales sort of phased out, the original DuckTales sort of phased out, the only character who kept getting stories once in a blue moon who would appear was Launchpad. That sort of stopped when Darkwing Duck came around and they started doing Darkwing Duck comic stories featuring him. But even in reprints, the William Van Horn DuckTales stories with Launchpad in them were wildly popular. Egmont did a few stories where Launchpad was semi-integrated into the mainstream Duck continuity. They weren't Carl Bark stories or the Italian stories, but they were, you know, just as valid in their own way. Coincidentally, none of the other characters ever got that luxury, even Webby, especially not Bubba. Gizmo Duck was focused on mostly in the Darkwing end of things. And I'm going back to Gizmo Duck. The reason why I said he worked as well was because Fenton, when they realized that that Launchpad as a Donald stand-in couldn't work, they decided to try again. And that's how Fenton Crackshell was created, the alter ego Gizmo Duck. Fenton Crackshell was a little bit better, but rather than make him Donald Duck 2.0, they gave him his own family and Gizmo Duck. Now, Gizmo Duck works excellent as a foil for Darkwing. It's just perfect. It's the Superman Batman kind of thing that they have going on with each other. Except the rivalry that Darkwing imagines is just completely non-existent. But with Fenton, it was really strange because in the comics, in the American comics, the concept of Duck Avenger, Donald Duck as a superhero, was never around. We only really just started introducing that to the comics in the past couple of years. Last year, the year before last, really. Because the major Duck Avenger stuff had never seen print over here. Whereas it was wildly popular in Europe. So people weren't really used to Duckburg with a superhero in it. It was a little bit weird. For some people, it was majorly off-putting. But for those who didn't know anything about the history, like me at the time, they loved it. And I've always loved Gizmo Duck as a character. It's a little bit odd, a little bit of a hard fit to make fit into the standard Carl Barks, Don Rosa, William Van Horn continuity. But every different creator has had some sort of different take on Duckburg. And I don't see him as being any less valid. I do think he works better with Darkwing, but at the same time, I don't mind him being that beleaguered assistant of Scrooge, who just so happens to be a security guard / superhero.
I think part of it, too, is with Gizmo Duck, and this is with a fuzzy memory, but still, he even in DuckTales, he wasn't presented as a, you know, superhero as we think of in kind of the Marvel DC Western style.
Exactly.
He was more of a bumbling Roomba that just happened to be loaded to the teeth.
Yep, he accidentally becomes Gizmo Duck. His entire family is a disaster.
How could you say such things about his grandmama?
That was
excuse
his
me, his dear mama.
It wasn't his grandmother, it was his mother.
Right.
Yeah, Mama Crackshell, as weird a fit as she is, was just ridiculous. And I loved her. I loved like all that stuff. The only thing that I did not like that the original DuckTales did was Bubba Duck. And that's almost universally, Bubba Duck is kind of seen as the scrappy do of the show. There's one, maybe I would argue, here's the thing. Bubba Duck is weird in that the original five-parter where he was introduced is one of the best serials of DuckTales. But the mistake that they made was keeping him afterwards. Had they sent him back into the past, blah, 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 it would have been great. But instead, they decided to keep him around. And really, every single Bubba Duck episode that isn't the pilot, with maybe the arguable exception of one, is just kind of terrible. So
I feel like that time period, all the cartoons were adding your caveman dinosaur duo, because didn't the Super Mario Brothers show start adapting Super Mario World and add Yoshi and whatever that other
Super Mario World was even more egregious, because the reason that the Super Mario Brothers cartoons semi worked was that it was a quartet. It was Mario, Luigi, Princess, and Toad. And Toad was the snarky, you know, side character who always kind of was the butt monkey. When they introduced Yoshi, they kept Yoshi around, but they got rid of Toad and instead gave him some sort of caveman sidekick. I don't even know. It was stupid. It was stupid. And I think like everybody simultaneously stopped watching the show at that point because the animation just got really terrible and it just didn't hold up.
And one last thing before we move on to modern DuckTales. I remember being just enthralled with the movie as a kid and being so excited that the genie stuck around at the end and was going to love seeing his adventures with Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and Bubba Duck was conspicuously absent, but I'm sure they'd work him in. Did the genie guy ever show up in the cartoon, or was that kind of
the end? He did not. The official end of the DuckTales cartoon was the Golden Goose two-parter, where Scrooge gets a goose that literally turns everything into gold. He goes nuts with it, and the entire world slowly starts turning to gold, and he has to reverse it by putting the golden goose back on the Tibetan fountain pedestal to reverse its powers, because the Beagle Boys, I think, accidentally, not even accidentally, on purpose, turn Huey, Dewey, and Louie into gold, and that's basically what snaps him out of it. Now, here's the thing. Treasure of the Lost Lamp was 1990. DuckTales ended in either 91 or 92. Now, this is one of the things I don't actually know if it was planned to do another season featuring the genie character or not, because even though those episodes came around in like the season four was 1990, but those episodes, I said 1991, but actually no, I'm wrong on that. It ended in 1990. DuckTales Treasure of the Lost Lamp came out in 1990, and then there were holdover episodes after that. Now, everybody loves DuckTales Treasure of the Lost Lamp, but as I recall, it did not do well in movie theaters. It did well in like home video, like well after the fact. So those holdover episodes were probably, those holdover episodes were from season three. My guess is that they had planned to do another season, maybe with the genie, if it was successful. But that never came to fruition. That's my guess.
And where did the Disney animated afternoon where you had Rescue Rangers, Darkwing Duck, Gargoyles, Bonkers, you know, all those great shows and Bonkers together.
And Bonkers.
did they all peter out around the same time?
No. The way that it happened was that Disney Animation actually did not start with DuckTales or Gummy Bears. It started with a little known Wonderful World of Disney show called, it was a movie actually, called Fluppy Dogs. I don't know too much about Fluppy Dogs. I've never seen it. It only aired, I think, when the Wonderful World of Disney was still going on, and it's never gotten a video release ever.
Folks who are listening to the show after the fact, look this up, because there's this animated movie that I remember loving that involved dogs that like could fly when you scratch their heads, and there were some kind of weird keys that opened
up
doors.
I think that was it.
Was that it? Because I couldn't remember what it was. And there's no way you can just look up, you know, Google dogs that fly when you scratch their heads. That's not going to get you anything. If that's what it is, I need to find it again, because I wanted to see that for forever.
Good luck, because good freaking luck. Unless somebody uploaded it to YouTube, I've never checked. I've never seen it. I might have seen it once as a little kid, but when the Disney afternoon started going like full tilt, it never re-aired again, and I don't think it's been on the air since. Now, what happened was that it was sort of a direct challenge to Hanna-Barbera, because Hanna-Barbera basically ruled Saturday mornings and afternoons, and we all know Hanna-Barbera, especially around the 70s, was kind of, yeah. The Disney Afternoon was an attempt to do, I shouldn't actually even say Disney Afternoon, I should say what came after, was an attempt to try and see if they could reap profits off of doing TV animation with an almost feature budget, like actually putting money into it and seeing it pan out. Their first serious attempts were Gummy Bears and Wuzzles. Now, here's the thing. Disney shot themselves in the foot. because Gummy Bears, if I'm remembering correctly, premiered on NBC Saturday mornings. Wuzzles was premiered on CBS Saturday mornings. And they both premiered adjacent to each other in the exact same time slot.
Ouch.
Yes. Now, I remember Wuzzles toys. Everybody loved the Wuzzles, but everybody adored the Gummy Bears. Gummy Bears naturally was the one that won out. And it started on Saturday mornings originally. It wasn't part of the collective Disney afternoon yet. Then Wuzzles was canceled, and the next Saturday morning cartoon, I believe, was The New Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Now, from there, DuckTales was the first daily syndicated show to premiere. And that was when the Disney Afternoon sort of, I don't think the Disney Afternoon had been created just yet. I think it was officially created around the end of that, the launch of Chippendale Rescue Rangers. I may be wrong. But Gummy Bears by that point had amassed a decent amount of episodes, was still premiering on Saturday morning. DuckTales was doing its 65 episode run, and that's when the Disney Afternoon comes about. I'm not sure if Wuzzles ever got a run on Disney Afternoon, but I know that it was rerun constantly on the Disney Channel. Winnie the Pooh was never aired on the Disney Afternoon. It stayed specifically Saturday mornings. And from there, the order went Gummy Bears, DuckTales, Chippendale Rescue Rangers, Tailspin, Darkwing Duck, Goof Troop, Gargoyles and Bonkers, I think, ran concurrently because Gargoyles originally started as a 13-episode season, at least in my era that premiered on Fridays. Then after the Bonkers disaster, then came Gargoyles, then came Aladdin, and technically Hercules is probably the last. Well, really, Aladdin is probably the last considered Disney Afternoon cartoon. You could make an argument for Hercules. But by that point, one Saturday morning had been established and everything was rebranded.
See, this is what I'm talking about, guys. You get him started and you can just listen for hours. It's fascinating. But let's get back on topic.
Okay.
Let's focus on the new DuckTales. And let's start off with the shining beacon of hope that it is. What was it as a aficionado of the DuckTales?
Well, first, before we do anything, I really have to give credit to the showrunner of the current DuckTales, Frank Angones. I really hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Cuban-American guy. He's currently working on... he's the guy who spearheaded the current DuckTales reboot, and him and his crew have put everything into it. So we would be doing a great disservice if we didn't at least toss his name out there before we started talking about it.
There we go. So now that it's out there, what has he and his wonderful production crew done right so far, by your standards?
By my standards, the first thing was Donald Duck. First thing is at the addition of Donald Duck to the cast. Donald and Scrooge and Donald can work separately alone. They're both extremely strong characters. But when they're together, that's what made those old Carl Barks stories and even many of the modern Don Rosa stories and stories by many other creators just shine. The banter between Donald and Scrooge is what really nails it. I was wondering how it would work since, you know, Donald is basically a garbled bit of nonsense. He's hard to understand. And that was one of the other reasons why Donald was kind of left out of the original series. But I was personally... the comic book version of Donald, because, you know, that squawking noise he makes doesn't really translate to print, but they really kind of nailed it. I was able to understand Tony Anselmo, who is the voice of Donald. I was able to understand him. I loved the banter that was introduced. I loved everything that was done about it. The second thing is that Webby was problematic in the old cartoon for a number of reasons. She was just this cloying little girl tag along who was just annoying. This version of Webby is a complete turnaround, and now she actually feels like she could be part of the extended Duck universe. shout out to Swole Miss Beakley because that is just ridiculous and I love it. But Miss Beakley is, again, this was a character who was just kind of shoehorned in. Now, here's the thing about Miss Beakley. There is a character that has existed in, okay, I got to give you a little backstory on this first. In the comics, there was this thing called the S-Code program. And what that was that American writers would produce stories that would be drawn by overseas creators. Carl Barks never did any S-coded stories, probably because he was the lead writer on Uncle Scrooge. He had that book up until the point where he retired. But many other lesser-known Disney creatives did. One little bit of trivia, one person in particular was Jerry Siegel, who was the creator of Superman, actually did a number of Scrooge stories that have never even seen print over here. I don't know whether they're any good, but I mean, just as a trivia point, you know, that's nuts. Now, in the S-coded program, there was a character who was known as Belle Duck. She was a big, portly-looking character who owned a riverboat and was an old friend of Scrooge from his, I guess, his days on the Mississippi. I don't remember the full story behind it. We only just started printing some of the Belle Duck Scrooge stories in the States, like, just last year. Now, the rumor is that somebody probably saw Belle Duck because of her. I mean, they don't really look alike, but it's kind of hard not to see two portly female duck characters who are just a little bit snarky, and they just sort of went with that. Now, I don't know if there's any truth behind that. That's the rumor that I've always heard anyway. But that might be behind the creation of Miss Beakley. If not, then ignore everything that I said because I can't confirm that. But Miss Beakley was supposed to be the snarky governess. I'm saying that wrong. I don't know what the exact word is. She was a glorified babysitter who could keep up with Huey, Dewey, and Louie because they were supposed to be at first envisioned as the rambunctious kids from the original Donald Duck shorts. The only difference is in those old Donald Duck shorts, they actually had Donald Duck's weird voice, but Russie Taylor gave them their own distinctive individual voice for 87 DuckTales. That's where Miss Beakley comes from. And Webby was the granddaughter to Miss Beakley. Now, she's still the granddaughter to Miss Beakley in the modern version. But like I said, both of them got a complete overhaul, which is good because neither of them really worked in the old show. They worked to an extent, but the whole cloying little girl thing walking around with the Quacky Patch doll, which, by the way, if you saw the pilot, is hilarious. The Quacky Patch doll does appear in 2017 DuckTales, but it's nailed. I think its head is nailed to Webby's. its head is nailed to Webby's conspiracy board in her room.
I think the biggest difference is that in 87, they were obstacles to adventure, and in the 2017 version, they are contributors to the adventure.
Yes, yes, very much so. Coincidentally, going back to Bubba for a minute, I don't know if anybody caught it, but Bubba and his dinosaur Tootsie, the Triceratops, did actually appear in the 27 DuckTales pilot in a very blink and you miss it.
They were in the garage.
Well, their skeletons were in the garage.
I was wondering if that was a nod or not. I'm like, I need to ask John if that's it.
It has to be because it was a duck. It was a cave duck skeleton wearing Bubba's fur outfit, and a Triceratops was next to it. A Triceratops skeleton was next to it. I can't see that being anything but Bubba and Tootsie. Also, that entire scene in the garage where they were going over other stuff, I believe the treasure ship from Valley of the Golden Suns, the original DuckTales pilot, was in that too. So there was just, I can't see that not being a purposeful cameo. That's just the kind of stuff that was in there. The other thing, of course, we've already talked about Launchpad. Launchpad is just perfect. It's at this point, because Launchpad was established in two cartoons, you'd have to try to get Launchpad wrong. I can't wait to see what they do with Darkwing. I know what they're going to do, and it has the potential to be hilarious. Now, we haven't gotten to the Beagle Boys yet, but I will say one of the things that DuckTales did, and this is heavily debated, the Beagle Boys don't have individual names in the comics. They've always been called by their prison card numbers, which is usually some variation on 716617, just different numbers rearranged in that, those numbers rearranged in different orders.
And there's no real distinction between the Beagle Boys. There's not like a tall one or a short one, or there isn't one that's reoccurring. This is always this Beagle Boy
there's
with this
only
number.
One.
It's always just them.
There's only two main Beagle Boys by Karl Barks that had any sort of distinction to them. And that is one of the Beagle Boys, one of the numbered Beagle Boys, had an affinity for prunes. His one weakness was that there are countless stories where the Beagle Boys almost win, but this idiot, just all you have to do is just give him prunes and he just loses his mind. That's one. That one became what was known as Burger Beagle in the DuckTales cartoon. They took away the prune affinity and just gave him burgers.
And made him my spirit animal.
Yes. Now, the next one, the other one who had a, who was very distinctive, was Grandpa Beagle. Now, Grandpa Beagle later was only used in, I think, one or maybe two Karl Barks stories. I'm going to say one, and I think it was the Money Well. But he's been used in countless stories in Italy, where he's basically the patriarch of the Beagle clan. When Don Rosa did the 12-part year-long Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck story, he basically took Blackheart Beagle. There was a Blackheart Beagle who was originally presented as one of Scrooge's earliest antagonists in a Karl Barks story, The Great Riverboat Race. And he basically made Blackheart Beagle and Grandpa Beagle the same person. It just made sense to do that. So he had a name, Blackheart. Ma Beagle was created specifically for the cartoon. She was made to be the matriarch of the Beagle Boys. One, because there weren't, admittedly, the Duck comics are kind of a sausage fest, the old ones. There weren't a lot of really strong girl characters who had really been around. So they created a new female villain to go with Magica the Spell, and that was Ma Beagle. She was voiced by June Foray. Personally, I like Ma Beagle. I've always liked Ma Beagle, and I'm glad that they brought her back for the series. I'm hoping, though, that we eventually get Blackheart Beagle, because Blackheart Beagle, the way that he's been depicted in comics, not even just the Don Rosa stuff, where he's known in the Don Rosa stories, he's basically the most vicious Beagle Boy. In the Italian stories, he's the patriarch of the Beagle clan and the only one who can, you know, leave them and whack them upside the head when they need it. He's portrayed as an old man past his prime, but, you know, still has more of his savvy than the rest of his grandsons. I'm hoping that they get to Blackheart. I really am. As much as I like Ma Beagle, as much as I love female villains, I really want them to do Blackheart. And let's see, what else? I'm just really glad. I'm glad that apparently Ludwig von Drake is going to appear at some point. He was never in the old DuckTales stories, which was just egregious to me because I love Ludwig. There's so much. Giving Huey, Dewey, and Louie different personalities is something that's currently being argued, because Huey, Dewey, and Louie were always seen as one basic entity. Coincidentally, they did not get their red, green, blue color scheme until DuckTales. They had always fluctuated in colors in the comics up to a certain point, and I think red, green, and blue, they just sort of wandered into that, and then DuckTales cemented it.
I would understand some trepidation, given that the last time they tried to create a distinction between the three of them...
We don't talk about Quackpack.
Was Quackpack.
We don't talk about it. It doesn't exist.
The goof troop of the Duckverse.
Okay, I'm going to make a tangent for a minute. A Goofy movie is
phenomenal.
Quite possibly my favorite Disney movie ever made.
It is fine cinema.
It is great. Goof Troop. How they got a Goofy movie out of Goof Troop is beyond me. Not to say that Goof Troop is terrible, because if I was forced to watch Goof Troop versus Quack Pack, I watch Goof Troop any day. Some Goof Troop episodes are hilariously funny, but the majority of it is just not my cup of tea. But I will say I squealed when they did the Spoonerville call out in the DuckTales pilot. That said, I love Max. Max has probably been the best addition to the classic Disney character canon in decades. But Quack Pack? Quack Pack was an attempt to do yet another spinoff of DuckTales, and the story as I knew it is that too many cooks got involved in it. Then it got morphed into being something that was more like the original Donald Duck theatrical shorts, and then that didn't pan out. The only thing that Quack Pack did right was that in the comics, the worst character in the comics has always been Daisy Duck. She is a shrill shrew in the comics. Quack Pack updated Daisy to actually make her a reporter, a working woman, stuff that had been established in the comics prior but had never been taken seriously before. This was a Daisy that was semi-likable. One of the things that make Daisy and Donald's relationship work is that Daisy is just as belligerent as Donald is. But there's a fine line between that being funny versus her being just a catty shrew. Now, the current Mickey Mouse shorts that are being produced, you know, those really goofy looking ones that are...
I think that's found a nice balance of making Daisy insufferable, but in a fun way.
Yes, that's been the perfect depiction of what Daisy should be like. Some of the best Daisy Donald stories are like in the comics. That's the Daisy that should have been around in the comics for ages. Quack Pack did do Daisy right, but they also kind of took away her temper. So in a way, they still kind of screwed it up. But she was the only thing about Quack Pack that was decent. They aged Huey, Dewey, and Louie to teenagers, gave them individual personalities, and it was just awful. Everything was just awful. They made Donald wear a Hawaiian shirt for no reason. I don't even want to talk about it.
Now, do you think Daisy will show up in DuckTales, or is she going to be regulated out?
Daisy's supposed to show in DuckTales, actually. Daisy's supposed to show up in DuckTales. Gladstone is supposed to show up in DuckTales, and that's what I'm looking forward to. Because I'm not sure if your viewers are familiar with Gladstone Gander. Gladstone Gander is basically a thorn in Donald Duck's side. He's not a villain. Sometimes he can be a hero, but mostly he's just an insufferable snit. Gladstone's shtick is that he is the luckiest duck in the universe. The world will bend over backwards to give Gladstone anything that he wants. There's a story where Gladstone he's walking down the street and there's a dollar that's on the ground. Just a dollar that's sitting there. Now, anybody else would pick that dollar up and just be like, oh, this is my lucky day. Gladstone is like, if I bend over to pick up the dollar, that's considered it to be work, and I don't work. So he'll leave. He'll just leave the dollar sitting there. And then he'll walk along, and then 2 steps later, there'll be a wallet on the ground. If I bend over to pick that up, that's also work. So he'll just leave that. And then at some point, he holds his hand out, and a giant bag of money will literally fall from the sky through some contrived coincidence to land in his hand. And he just goes and uses that to buy a burger. That's Gladstone Gander in a nutshell. He's just the worst. Carl Barks had to stop using him at some point. The anecdote goes that Carl Barks stopped using him at some point because his wife hated him.
I was going to say, I'll help Donald bury the body. I'm just,
Some of the best Gladstone versus, and this is the other thing, it's rare that anyone who tries to Gladstone always wins. Donald, it's very rare cases only time Gladstone ever wins is when he doesn't pay attention to his luck, which is rare. For the most part, though, the other thing that makes Gladstone insufferable is that he always wins. He always beats Donald, and Donald always goes home crying with his tail between his legs. It's just the worst. He's the worst comic book character. But that's what makes it funny, and I'm so glad. He was only in one DuckTales episode from the 87 run, and it had Magica Dispel in it. It had all the aspects of maybe being a good episode, but it was animated terribly. Coincidentally, he was voiced by Rob Paulsen, who did Yakko Warner, Raphael from the 87 Ninja Turtles. So, you know, he had a great voice. His design was almost matched. Instead of a blue jacket, he had a red jacket. He was still obnoxiously lucky, but they just screwed up everything else. So the fact that he's supposed to be a regular in the new show is something that I'm looking forward to.
We're starting to run a little long, but I'm going to steer to one last topic to cover quickly. What are you worried about, or what are the pitfalls that you foresee for the new DuckTales that you hope they avoid?
Okay, going back to the nephews having individual personalities, I'm still really on the fence about only one of them, namely Huey, being the only junior woodchuck. The junior woodchucks were basically the pastiche for the Boy Scouts, and in the comics, all three of the nephews are part of the junior woodchucks. That literally is just something that they are all heavily into, and it factors into so many stories, so I don't know how I feel about that. I'm going to have to see how it's handled and whatnot. But just having only one nephew that's a junior woodchuck almost feels really wrong. I'm waiting to see how they handle Gyro Gearloose. I'm hoping that they don't make him insufferable, because Gyro Gearloose, the inventor, is just a really sweet character, kind of awkward. I also want to see if they keep his helper along, the little robot with the light bulb forehead. I want to see how they handle Magica Dispel, because we haven't seen anything on anything on Magica Dispel yet. And I'm hoping that one thing that DuckTales, the original DuckTales, did egregiously wrong, Magica's actually supposed to be Donald Duck's age. She's supposed to be in her early 30s, late 20s. When they had June Foray voice her, she gave her that Natasha Fatal, Rocky and Bullwinkle voice. So it made her seem like an old crone witch when really she's young. She's extremely young. So I'm hoping that they don't go that route. And that they keep her being a young woman who's also a slinky sorceress, which was how Karl Barks imagined her. Gosh, there's really so much. We've only seen the pilot episode, so I don't really know what to focus on. I'm hoping, well, we already know who the main cast is, so I highly doubt we'll get a Bubba Duck situation again. I like the fact that we've got Glomgold back. I prefer him in his South African roots, but I don't know how they're going to handle that, so I'm afraid to say certain things on it, because in the comics, Glomgold was originally South African. In 87 DuckTales, they made him Scottish for whatever arbitrary reason. He's Scottish in the new version, but I don't know how they're going to handle that, so I'm going to do a wait and see before I comment on that. There's a lot of things that they can get really, really wrong. And if I was a purist, I could be pedantic about it, but I'm not. I feel like, because at the same time, that pilot got so many things right that I don't want to harp on that too much. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't want to jinx it. Because so far, everything that I've seen, everything that I've heard, everything that I know so far sounds excellent. And if it's just one or two little things that are just kind of yuck, then I'm willing to let that go, because the 87 series, and I'm one of the few people who saw the 87 series first, and that was my gateway into the comics, so everything was different for me. But as I read the comics, I learned to appreciate them more than the 87 series. But I don't hate the 87 series like some purists do. I actually love it in its own way. But you know, it is what it is. I look at them both as different continuity. Look at Sonic the Hedgehog. You and I both have worked on that. Look at how many tons and tons of continuities there are within Sonic. So right. I can accept that there are different versions of those things, some of them more egregious than others. Underground.
Let me cut you off there, because if we stick through, this is going to be like a 9-hour episode.
All right, go. Do your thing.
Thank you so much, John. We're going to come back to you in just a minute. Right now, Kyle, let's move on to the Q&A. Thank you, John. Now, before we move on to the Q&A, we have an ad from our good friend Daniel H. If you would like to be handsome and wonderful like Daniel, go to patreon.com/bumblecast, where you can purchase your own ad space on the show. We're all aware of the damage that Hurricane Harvey has done to Texas. There are numerous charities that could help, but some of them have proven to be scams, and some don't even put a majority of the money where it needs to go, which is the pockets of the people who need it. Samaritan's Purse ranks high among the charities and getting cash where it needs to go. If you'd like to help out, please consider donating through here or through the charity that you trust. Please, and thank you very much. Check out www.samaritanspurse.org.
And I'd like to give an extra special mention to CharityNavigator.org. We're not being sponsored by them, and we weren't asked to read an ad for them, but if you're looking for other charities to also give to, CharityNavigator.org is a great resource to check whether the charity that you're giving to is legit or not. I've been using it a lot lately because I've been dealing with a lot of leukemia charities, so it's been an invaluable resource. Be sure to go check them out, too, if you're looking for a verifiable way to find out if money's going to where it needs to go.
And now it's time for the moment you've all been waiting for. The end of the show. No, wait, excuse me. I mean the Q&A.
If you would like to ask questions in the Q&A times, bumblecast@yahoo.com is a great way to do it. You can also go to Twitter and use the hashtag Bumblecast and hit @IanFlynnBKC or @KyleJCRB. Or you can leave a comment or message on the Patreon page. First up, we've got the priority Q&A from our lovely patrons. First one is from Daniel H. You mentioned before that the Great White North doesn't have a lot of good old-fashioned fried chicken options as we do in the States. Any luck thus far in finding one?
I've settled with Popeye's Louisiana Chicken, and that's not biased because I worked for them briefly. It is the closest I've found to that nice, breaded, meaty, southern fried chicken. It ain't Bojangles.
No.
Not by a long shot. It's not even Chick-fil-A, even though their business practices are questionable. But it'll do. It'll do.
It's good enough for Canada, apparently.
Unfortunately, they've switched up the biscuits here. They went from these, you know, very heavy buttermilk biscuits, which are to something that's very, very sweet and cakey. So it isn't like a nice biscuit to go with your chicken. It's more like dessert.
Kind of like a sweet cornbread?
No, not even like a sweet cornbread. It's like cake.
Oh. I mean, I'm not going to deny a slice of cake, though, man.
No, absolutely not. But you wouldn't stick a piece of fried chicken in your slice of cake, now, would you?
You don't know me. You'd eat chicken with anything, man. You can have chicken and waffles. You know, you can have chicken and biscuits. You can have chicken and cake. I don't know. Why not? Chicken goes with everything. But I can understand you be wanting that good old southern fried stuff with a good biscuit. Yeah, I can understand what you mean. Still though,
what do you have around your neck of the woods?
Still though, cake. You know what, it's kind of funny, there's actually we've got a Popeyes just around the corner from here, not too far away. I haven't even been there yet, but we also have the old standard KFC, which is not really a
No.
And then there's Churches, which is okay, but it's not amazing. And that's about it, really. We've just got the standard chains for the most part. No Bojangles.
The only time I ever tried Churches, it was way greasy, way, way too greasy.
It is greasy, yeah. That's kind of the one drawback of it, but it's okay. It's inexpensive. It's inexpensive and offensive. It's just there. Yeah, we don't have southern food here. Is kind of a rarity, sadly. We're mostly Tex-Mex. So, next question comes from good old Connell T. The virus villainess Phage is said to have been a part of one of Dr. Eggman's plans in the past. Could she have been an obstacle for Sonic in one of those digital levels?
Yes, that would have been a neat idea that I was kind of angling towards. Or, you know, obviously because nobody knew who Phage was before she reared her masked head, they wouldn't have encountered her directly. But I did want to kind of hint that some of the obstacles and dangers that they had encountered in some of the digital levels had been like proto-Phage as she compiled. But yeah, there we go. That's another idea that didn't make the cut.
Curses. Foiled again by, I don't know, Phage. That was who did it. She did it.
She cruel and unyielding fate.
She retconned herself. She has that power. And our last question comes from good old Sam Cybercat. Everybody's good old this week. Have either of you ever played Sonic Shuffle?
I have not, sadly.
I haven't either, but I've heard the music, and it's awful.
I can't think of the music, which is odd for a Sonic game.
That's exactly it. Well, it's not very good. The music is not. It's not notable, really, and it's just not great. But yeah, I haven't played it. I've watched a playthrough, but that's the closest I've gotten.
Same here. I've heard that the card drawing mechanic is not very fair at all.
Yeah.
And if you've got real people playing, it's very easy to game the system, and that the computer just cheats like all get out.
Mm-hmm. I kind of wish they had stuck with the idea and refined it a bit and gone with maybe a couple more Sonic Shuffles to actually get to a good alternative for Mario Party, but unfortunately they didn't stick with it, so. Well, that's okay. And let's move into the standard Q&A. Here's the first one from good old the Luna 13. What is your go-to YouTube channel? The one you just put on whenever?
I don't think I have one. I've got like 24 channels that I've subscribed to that usually don't update or update with stuff that I guess is the more popular to their regular viewers and I'm just not interested in.
Sure.
Or they update so slowly that I can't really put on their stuff reliably. It's like, oh, hey, they updated. I'll watch this now. And done.
Yeah. That's kind of what I do. I have some stuff that I watch regularly, mostly tech and gaming YouTubers for the most part, like the tech guys who do computer hardware reviews and build computers and stuff like that. Real high level nerdy stuff. Real stings that people who would knew I was watching it would be like, man, you are weird. And then I watch one guy who is like a free and open source software, kind of almost an evangelist. Not really, but he does a podcast about mainly about Linux stuff and free and open source stuff. And I really do like both of those things, even though I don't personally use Linux on my main machine. But I do use a lot of open source software because I like free. Free is good. It's the best price.
That's usually what I can afford.
So long as the software works. And to be honest, a lot of free software lately has been pretty good. We're recording this on some right now, actually.
Exactly.
And what else? Trying to think, what else do I watch? Some gaming channels, you know, some of the, I guess, more of the fairly popular ones. Pat the NES Punk is always a good standby. He also does a great podcast. And who else do I watch? There was a recent one I started watching that goes, it's basically a documentary series about the world records of video games.
Ooh.
Going through as time has gone on, where the world record has gone, who has gotten it, and the battles between people who are at the top of the world leaderboards in things like Donkey Kong or Super Mario Brothers or Punch-Out, speedrunning and, you know, fast play and all that cool stuff. So That is a really awesome channel, actually, and I do recommend it. Now, if I could only remember the name of the guy who does it, because now I'm just like, oh man, I'm talking all this stuff. Oh, here we go. Okay, summoning salt. You know, summoning, summoning as in summoning, and then salt as in the thing you put on food. Is that a like some joke that I don't get, Ian?
Well, if maybe I'm reading too much into it, but if it's all about people competing for speed running,
oh,
and
salt,
the time and effort you put in.
Okay, people are getting salty with each other. Yeah,
I shaved 3 seconds off this. The world record is mine. It sure was for 5 minutes. Somebody else just beat you.
Glorious. Yeah, the guy is actually the current world record holder for speed running. Mike Tyson and Mike Tyson's Punch Out, and he basically covers the world record progression of all sorts of games just because he's part of that community and loves it. So you can see him beating Mike Tyson's Punch Out in like nearly 2 minutes.
What?
Or beating Mike Tyson in Mike Tyson's Punch Out in almost 2 minutes. And you can also see speedrun progressions of Mario 64, Mario World, Sonic 2, Portal. He's got a whole bunch up there. So I really recommend that one, actually. That's my lock of the week on the Bumblecast. Anyway, it's cool, man. It's cool. You should watch it.
Oh, I'm definitely going to look this one up.
Yeah. Boosalarian theme, good old Boosalarian themes coming in here, asking us if we've read any of the following: Judge Dredd, Johnny Red,
nope.
Prince Valiant,
nope.
Commando Comics,
nope.
Sven Hassel, Corto
nope.
Maltese, Charlie's
nope.
War, William Heath
nope.
Robinson's works, Viz, Tintin,
nope. Nope.
Frederick Forsyth, or
nope.
Asterix. Because
nope.
I'm sure you like the ones you haven't read.
And the. There's a lot on that list that is on my list to read at some point, at some time, but nope. Although saying, you know, Viz is kind of huge because I can't remember the entire library of what Viz has published over the years. They're massive.
Right. I have heard of like 4 or 5 of these, actually. So not too bad. I do know Judge Dredd. I've seen the movies, the 90s movie, which is probably a crime against Judge Dredd fandom, and the newer one. The newer one's pretty good. I could definitely see something working from the newer one. Prince Valiant, I've at least heard of, and Tintin and Asterix, you know, they're kind of huge, so there is no, I kind of expect to have heard of those,
right.
But. Yeah, I unfortunately haven't read any of those, but I'm willing to give them a shot. Maybe someday I'll get a chance to. And finally, good old Andrew D. bringing up the end here. Where would you like to see the new comic go in terms of story, when in the timeline it starts, etc.?
Oh, let's trot out this response that I've been using in every email, pretty much every tweet, and everyone who's asked at the various shows. If I were involved with IDW Sonic at this point, I wouldn't be able to talk about it because I would be under contract to keep my mouth shut until whatever marketing scheme they had going on went. If I wasn't associated with it, I wouldn't want to talk about it because that would automatically undermine whoever was coming up after me. Not to toot my own horn, but I'm kind of a big deal when it comes to the Sonic comics, at least in the minds of a lot of people online. So whoever's picking up the banner with the next book doesn't need me harping online saying, oh, well, if they were to do it right, they would do it this way. It's a professional courtesy. So let's not worry about it right now. There will be announcements. There will be whatever when it comes out. And if anything, when it comes out, let's just enjoy it for itself. I know that's not going to happen. Everyone's going to compare it to Sonic the Comic and both versions of Archie, blah, 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 blah. But for now, let's just calm down and let things come about as they are going to.
Right. That said, I still would like it if the comic took on kind of the same similar story and tone and look as Overdrive or Mega Drive. Yeah, just throwing that out there. We'll see. Anyway.
That's it for the Q&A. Let's do some plugs, John. You're up first. Anything you want to plug, John? I know you got a number of irons in the fire.
Right now, I currently do work for IDW. I do the Disney comics, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, Uncle Scrooge. Check those out, as well as Duck Avenger. I currently localize those comics, and I do cover art for all of them. In addition to that, I run my own website, www.johngraywb.com, and I do two webcomics, Chip and Walter and Time Trouble, at chipandwalter.com and time-trouble.com. Had to do the dash because I couldn't register the main word. And as well as that, I also have a Patreon, which are available on all three of my pages. So if you like, feel free to contribute.
Thank you again for just churning out all of the duck knowledge for us. You made the episode far more interesting than if it was just left to me.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Like I said, I can do tons of cartoons. If you ever want me back, let me know. I'd be more than happy to do it.
And this folks, if you're listening and you like this show, let us know. We'll see what we can do.
Cool beans. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, John. And if you want to follow what I've got going on, head over to BumbleKing.com or head to Twitter at IanFlynnBKC.
And you can find me on Twitter at KyleJCRB, or you can head on over to KNGI.org, where you can find also Nitro Game Injection, which is a video game music remix show that streams live every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on 8bitx.com. You can also head on over to twitch.tv/BumblecastGaming, where Ian and I, you know, we stream games randomly throughout the week. We try to. We do as much as we can. We've been doing some streaming here and there. You'll also be able to find our Bumblecast Gaming Live Patreon exclusive streams every Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. You have to become a patron to get involved with those, but they are there. And you can also find the Bumble Store at shop.spreadshirt.com/bumblestore. You got shirts, you got all sorts of other cool stuff. You can put our logo on practically anything, so go check it out.
Before we wrap up, we're going to give a big shout out to everyone who's made this show possible through patreon.com/bumblecast. I'm going to see if I can do this in one breath.
Do it.
Okay. Big thank you to Daniel H., Zephyr Flame, Chris A., Damo, John B., Sam Cybercat, Mike B., Connell T., Samuel P., Justin G., Jennifer R., David C., Revan the Light, Diane W., Lisa M., Ardindy M., Today's Passenger, Scruffy Matt, Lee H., James G., Chevelle, Don B., Sin Fritz, Frobman, Taco El Ghetto Comics, Nuts.
No.
John M., Estevarovich 9X, Alex P., James K., Overthink Films, Adam BT and Ron. So close.
My favorite supporter is Nuts.
Whoever signs up to the Patreon with the screen name on Nuts gets a free ad space on the show right there.
Yeah. Your name is on Nuts, but you have to be a new supporter. You can't just go in and change your name. Come on, don't be like that.
That's going to wrap it up for episode 52 of the Bumblecast. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you in 2 weeks.
Bye!
Thank you so much.
No worries, dude. Like I said, seriously, if you ever want me to do anything else, if you guys talk about animation, I'd be glad to do it.
Just a second, hon. All right, so I'm going to stop.
Lee, I said hi.
John says hi. I'm the vice platoon. She says bye, Splatoon.
Tell her to look at my Facebook wall and check out that pumpkin spice hot dog. She'll love it.
He says check out his Facebook and see the pumpkin spice hot dog.
No.
She says no.
You married a smart lady.
She says she already did in a very angry voice. It's going to be really fun just to see if the mic actually picked that up so we can put it in the bloopers at the end of the episode.
Oh, God.
All right, seriously hitting stop.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Bumblecast. If you like the show, be sure to hit that subscribe button and consider supporting us on Patreon. We have some great rewards as well as big plans to make the show even better. Also, rate and review the show on iTunes. It gets more folks listening and really helps us out, so we definitely appreciate it. Original music by Ken Coda Snyder, used with permission. Find more of his music at bc.s3m.us and find the theme song at noisechanradio.bandcamp.com, available as a pay what you want download.
Life is like the Bumblecast, except it's not. I can't think what rhymes with the Bumblecast off the top of my head. This is a mistake. Don't put this in the bloopers. Kyle, don't do. Please don't put it in there or I'll be so chagrined. Dun, dun, dun. This is so stupid. Why am I still going on?
The danger lurks behind the cast. It's time to close this out now. I don't know what I'm doing here on the Bumblecast. Woo! I don't know anything.
I like it.
Cut, print, it's good. Somebody will like it, maybe.
Oh, sure. People enjoy cheese.
Mmm, cheese. I like cheese. Especially on chicken. Cheesy chicken. Mmm, that's my dinner, actually.
Oh, nice. I actually made some cheesy chicken nachos.
Mmm, cheesy chicken nachos. I should come to your house. I should always come to your house. Okay, maybe not always. You'll get tired of me real quick, but, you know.
I'm thinking more the commute might put a dent in your pocket.
Yeah, well, I yeah. That's okay. I don't need that money.